This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Last time we were noting a number of lessons from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 1 through 5, and I would urge you to take your own Bible and read those 5 verses for yourself. Last time we had noted 3 lessons to be learned from this passage. Number 1, that Paul the Apostle recognizes that people need instruction and counsel about the physical side of married life. It is therefore not wrong, but is right to give it. A second lesson is, the union of man and woman in marriage is right, it is honorable, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Outside of marriage, it is wrong, it is sinful, and we in the church of the Lord need to stand up in the midst of a world that's gone mad with the idea of being neutral and cry as loudly as we know how to cry for men to come back to the moral standard set forth in the Word of God. And third, the physical relationship is not only good in marriage, it is wrong to seek to eliminate it. In fact, it is fraud to try to eliminate it. Many people fall into temptation and commit adultery because their marriage partner has failed in this particular aspect of the physical relationship. The so-called holy attitude, which discounts and disregards the needs of one's partner, is disobedience to God. It may be that the person whose companion has been guilty of adultery is often himself not free from blame in this matter. If he has contributed to the sin of his partner, I'm sure that he is not free of blame. The idea that men are more holy because of a more celibate life has no foundation in the Word of God. The idea of a celibate priesthood which cannot marry is completely without foundation in the Word of God, although, of course, if one wishes to forego marriage in order to devote himself to the kingdom, as it's clear that the Apostle Paul did, this certainly would be within his right. But marriage is a beautiful relationship, as has already been explained in detail from various passages. The sexual relationship, which might well be termed the added language which has been given to man by God to be spoken only by those who are married, is an expression of love which is more flexible, more expressive, and more profound than mere human speech for the expression of one's feeling of love. However, you must remember that even this physical relationship must be primarily a spiritual one. That is, it is primarily a spiritual relationship. The marriage relationship is not, as some religious people would have us to believe, first, just for the purpose of bearing children, and second, must be refrained from when it is not for this purpose. This is erroneous thinking. Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 7 that we must not defraud one another or be apart except on occasions when by mutual consent the partners wish to give themselves to prayer and other religious activities. Paul said that such separation should not continue long, but man and wife should soon come back together again lest they be tempted because of their incontinency. The frequency of the sexual relationship is not specified in the Scriptures. Sometimes couples greatly differ in their needs as regards this matter, and sometimes this becomes a source of problem and even trouble, even the disintegration of the marriage. But the Bible provides the answer to what otherwise could be a very perplexing problem. From experiences in marriage counseling, men have learned that this is a point of great unhappiness for many couples, but the Bible provides the key to happiness. All anyone has to do is just heed the instructions of God's Word. Love, when it is present, leads each person in the marriage relationship to lovingly consider the other's desires and needs. Each remembers that the other has the authority over the other's body, and a weak desire upon the part of one partner does not lessen responsibility to render, as Paul put it, due benevolence to the other. The Apostle Paul did not discuss this matter in detail, but he made it plainly clear that each is to render to the other their due or due benevolence. Each is to give to the other his or her conjugal rights. A loving partner, even when he or she has little desire, will not allow this to degenerate into mere duty or mere acquiescence, and certainly it will not be done grudgingly, for both God and man, that is, including woman, love cheerful givers. There was one man who made this marvelous statement: to be indifferent to the physical expression of love, still more to dislike it or to feel that in some way shameful, is neither superior nor virtuous nor refined. It is a symptom of mental illness or maladjustment. But our time is gone again for today. Please be with us next time as we continue our study of the great Bible topic of marriage.